This is Misty Pendragon starting off with a podcast on the Scream for the Scream Sisters. We're going to be talking about Final Girls tonight, but we're going to talk a little bit about ScareCon coming up from June 2nd to 4th in Springfield. We are going to be there advertising our wares, so check us out. From what I hear, Luana Quigley is going to be there. That was just announced, which is like amazing. I'm going to be like fangirl mode. And hopefully I'll get an interview with her so she can be on the show. That would be, like, totally awesome. I have with me a special guest. I have Ashes. I think she has a pen name. I think she has more of a name besides Ashes. Go ahead, Ashes, and talk.
Hello, darling. I am Ashes Von Nightmare. I am from the Throwdown Thursday podcast on the Grand Guignol Network. You can tune in on Satchel, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Google Play. Every Thursday, we throw down a character, we analyze the crap out of it, we drink some wine, and we have a lot of fun. So thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. It's always good to talk to another girl about horror. And we have Melissa, who hasn't been with us in a long time, and I'm really glad to have her back on the show. And go ahead, Melissa, and say something.
Thank you, thank you. It's nice to do this again. I know it has been quite some time. I'm looking forward to doing this with Ashes and you.
Excellent. All right, so we'll start off talking about Final Girls, which Final Girls, essentially, simplest definition of that is the last character alive to confront the killer. It's pretty much always female, but there have been some different alterations. Sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's a man, but usually always cases it's female. Characters usually seem to be the living embodiment of stereotypical conservative attitudes. I don't know. What do you think, Ashes?
Well, I think that, especially in regards to the final girl, there are typically several different characteristics of, the final girl that separates her from the rest of the females in the horror movie itself.
Oh, totally.
Typically, the female characters are the female characters who are not the final girl tend to fall more of like a slutty or a ditzy, that kind of they're blonde, kind of like a just stereotypical like ditzy almost cheerleader type, whereas our final girl is typically the smarter, not as feminine looking, usually kind of more of the tomboyish type. So it's something that started started back in the 70s when the whole like final girl thing started really going in the horror genre.
Right.
And it's made quite the evolution since then. So I really like where the final girl is headed, and I'm really excited to see what happens next.
Totally. Like, I think one of the first final girls is probably, I think her name was Sally in Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I believe she is credited as being the first, like, ever final girl.
Yep, played by Marilyn Burns.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for that.
Yep.
And also we have Jamie Lee Curtis, of course, from Halloween.
Sigourney Weaver as Ellen Ripley in Alien.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's definitely a final girl. She's a kick-ass final girl.
Yeah, I think Ellen Ripley is kind of when we started seeing this change in the characteristics of the final girl, because, she was pretty much like a badass from the get-go, versus more often than not, our final girl doesn't start the movie like destined to be the final girl. She's usually kind of timid or very, very scared, very fearful, and throughout the movie she realizes that she possesses the characteristics necessary to not only fight for her life but defeat the killer in the end. So I think that Ellen Ripley kind of really started that whole like badassery of the final girl.
Definitely. Like, Laurie Strode was a wuss pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but I hate Laurie Strode.
Yeah, she got a little bit stronger in the second movie, but she was still, you know, pretty wussy. You also had Alice Hardy in Friday the 13th, which was a little bit later on in the Friday the 13th. I think it was the second one that she was in, where she was, you know, she was really analyzing Jason, and she really got to him on more of a psychological level. But she was very smart, which was not always what Final Girls were, but it was an interesting idea to see. I mean, do we feel also if it's a good job that sometimes Final Girls are replacing the action heroes or the survivors of action films?
It's nice to see a woman being the survivor, because it shows men that women can kick ass just as much as they can.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
It's
nice seeing that, especially in the horror genre specifically. Like, the horror genre is kind of breaking free from the, you know, gender norms and the, you know, gender roles that are currently placed on certain, you know, males have to act a certain way, females have to act a certain way, and it's really nice to see that. I think horror has definitely been on the cutting edge of that, as far as trying to break free from, you know, patriarchal filmmaking.
Right. I mean, the concept generally refers to the last woman to confront the killer, mostly in slasher films, but there have been some exceptions to other films having that terminology. Like, you know, Aliens obviously is not a slasher film, but you also seen the term was initially coined by Carol J. Clover in the 1992 book Men, Women, and Chainsaws.
Gender in the
modern horror film, yes.
Yeah.
She suggested,
you finished what you were saying.
Clover suggested the film was shown in the perspective of the killer, but it generally experienced the shift in identification to the final girl part way through the film, essentially.
Well, not to mention the fact that females in horror films tend to make people feel very uncomfortable because they're vulnerable and they're shown for extended periods of time being in fear and being uncomfortable, and it makes the audience uncomfortable. So when you put the final girl in certain situations where she is vulnerable and she's having her life threatened, and she finds the strength within herself, the intelligence that she has. You know, she uses her wits and common sense and whatever she has around her to ultimately fight for her life. And, you know, in some instances, ultimately defeat the killer. Like, the audience goes from, like, feeling sorry for her to rooting for her. And I think that's so important, and that's one of the things I love about horror films, is they really get you to root for the female character, which other genres don't normally do.
No, that's true. And usually sex equals death in a lot of most cases in horror films, but not always the case with Final Girls. There are some Final Girls that do have sex, and they still survive.
Yep, a good example of that would be Kristen Connolly, who played Dana Polk in Cabin in the Woods in 2012.
Right.
She wasn't a virgin, you know, she was partying and drinking with everybody, and she lived.
Even as far back as Neve Campbell in Scream, like, yep. She had sex with her boyfriend, and she wasn't as demure as she, portrayed herself to be, and obviously, she survived because there were how many Scream movies made?
Four.
And Courtney Cox as well. Her character survived all of them, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Sydney Prescott from Scream, right? She was... There were four Scream movies, so yeah, she survived all of those. And she definitely...
have to be an adult woman either, because you got to take into consideration Danielle Harris survived Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, as Jamie Lloyd too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, she was a kid. She was female and a kid, So, yeah, she was the final girl. That there was also the movie, has anybody seen the movie The Final Girls?
Haven't seen that.
Not yet.
Okay.
It's on my queue, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, that really is worthwhile seeing. It's a great movie. It plays on the concept where they go back in time. Her mother was in a horror film, and she somehow goes back in time into the horror film itself, and she meets her mother in the movie, and she gets, unfortunately, she does watch her mom die in the film. It's really an interesting concept. She becomes the final girl. It's a lot more interesting than I make it sound, but...
it's hard, though, to get too much into it without giving away the movie, too. Though.
Right, yeah, exactly. But it's a really, really interesting concept, and I was really, really surprised about it. They're actually they're doing a Salem Horror Film Festival in September, at the end of September, September 21st to October 9th, I believe. They're doing a whole horror festival, and that's one of the movies they're showing, is The Final Girls. They're doing, they're showing Kurt Hammett's horror poster and sci-fi collectible collection. That's one of the things they're doing. And, yeah, one of the movies they're showing is The Final Girls, and I thought that just reminded me of it. Because I was looking at that right before the podcast. And anything else you want to bring up, Ash?
Well, I was just going to say, it's very cool to see how far The Final Girl has come. We've talked a little bit about current Final Girls. One that comes to mind is Mary Elizabeth Winstead in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Her character's name was Michelle.
Yes. That was an interesting movie.
It's not a slasher flick per se. John Goodman was fucking psycho, and I loved it in that, but it was definitely horror and kind of monster movie-ish with the whole alien thing and stuff, and it really showed, I think that one movie itself really shows the whole evolution of the final girl. You know, she's put in this predicament where she can do nothing about it. You know, she was in a car accident, and come to find out, the car accident was no accident, it was actually meticulously planned by John Goodman's character, but, you know, she's taken into this bunker where she's told it's the end of the world, and she's not sure if it is or not, and then she kind of almost gets a little bit Stockholm Syndrome-ish, you know, starts identifying with her captor. John Goodman's character really isn't a bad guy after all, and then come to find out, yes, he is a bad guy, and then so she escapes from the bunker, only to find out that it wasn't a lie. There's this whole, like, alien chemical attack thing going on. And so not only does she escape this crazy dude, but she also has to fight aliens as well. And I love the end of that movie when she's driving away and she could have just kept on driving. And she overhears the, like, radio broadcast saying, you know, if you're still alive and you're able, like, come help, we need your help. And she just turns her car and goes right towards where the action is. And I love that. I love that. That's such a perfect depiction of where the final girl is heading. Like, not only is she fighting for her life, but she's willing to fight for others, too, and willing to put herself in danger to save others. And I want to see more of that.
Yeah, that was very different. That was very different, and it did show a lot of evolution of Final Girls. Another one I thought was interesting, and a lot of people are yes or no on this, is It Follows, where she was essentially, like, she did have sex, and one of the problems was that, where, you know, she was not a victim, she was showed as a victim in a way, and she essentially used a gun to shoot the monster in the long run.
And... I know Melissa just watched it.
I just watched that last night, and I was not a fan. That's like almost 2 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Really? That's what I hear about the movie. Like, you either love it or hate it. I happen to like it. I haven't seen it in a while, though. I saw it in the theaters, and I went to see it twice. I brought somebody to see it because I thought I was impressed with it. I thought it was very different, and it really showed a different aspect of Final Girl.
It was definitely different, but you gotta take into consideration, she didn't shoot the gun, her friend did. She brought all her friends in, and they're the ones that...
She ends up getting her friends killed and hurt. Yeah, it was, I mean, there were some aspects of it that were weak, but I thought the evolution of the Final Girl should be something that's mentioned there. You know, that she had to have sex in order to pass away the problems that she had, which she passed on to that guy.
If she hadn't had sex, she wouldn't have had the problem to begin with.
True.
It was passed on to her from someone else.
Right. That's true. But she didn't know that. She just
If you stuck to the line of how the original, Final Girl from older movies, if she didn't have sex, she didn't smoke, she didn't drink, she didn't smoke, she wouldn't have had the problem.
That's true. That's true.
Right, but that guy is a fucking asshole. Doing that to her.
Oh, definitely. I wanted to punch him I wanted to shoot him in the face with the gun.
Right?
Yeah, because he knew that was going to happen.
I'm not going to rape you. I'm just going to pass a demon on to you.
Yeah. another movie that I know that was worth mentioning was The Babadook, where the mother was the final girl in the end. That kind of drove her crazy. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it was crazy. Yeah. I thought that was so well done, you know, the manifestation of grief and, you know, the mother overcoming that.
Right.
You know, being able to, you know, kind of break free of these chains that she's made for herself with the grief of the passing of her husband and, you know, the end. Like, I actually really enjoyed the ending when they're actually, I think they were in the garden. It's been a while since I've seen it. They were in the garden and they were picking bugs and stuff to go feed the Babadook. And I loved what that represented, you know, like, it's okay to live with your grief. It's okay to feed it every once in a while.
Right.
But don't allow yourself to be overcome by it. And I think that movie is just an excellent example of the evolution of the Final Girl, because not only was she able to regain her life and properly take care of her son, who was annoying as fuck, by the way.
Oh my God, that was so annoying. Good act to the kid, though.
I was watching it with my husband, and I'm just like, oh my God, I really wish this kid would just die. This is why, I don't think I could ever have kids. I'm like, this kid is just so fucking obnoxious. I hope he just dies. But I thought that it was, and I believe that the Babadook was written and directed by a female as well.
It was, yes.
Which I think definitely lends to how the Final Girl, the whole trope, is evolving in the horror genre, because we have more women behind the scenes. We have more female directors and writers and producers and more females, you know, just having their hands in the final product. So they are taking the extra steps and taking care and making sure that these female characters are fully developed and fully realized and portrayed in a realistic and proper manner versus, you know, the way they were portrayed 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
Adding that touch.
Right. Let's see. In the 1980s, Final Girls were really hybrid good girls, maybe sexually active. Sometimes parties were really focused on somewhat masculinized a lot of times. When the Final Girls were either very masculine or very timid and noticed. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that I think it follows, not to bring the whole feminism thing into it, but I think it follows feminism at the time, so it depends on where the feminist movement is as to, it reflects a lot in art and certain aspects of, like, the culture and stuff. So I think movies definitely reflect that. So I think in the 80s, like, that's what everyone wanted to see, you know? Like, that's what was selling tickets. That's what was putting people in the seats at the theater. You know, that's what was getting people to purchase, you know, back in the day, once upon a time, kids, there was this really great thing called VHS, you know, like getting people to buy the movies and buy the merchandise that went to the movies as well. So, you know, there are certain things that sold and certain things that didn't. So, I mean, ultimately, it's all about making money.
In the 80s, we probably had one final girl we did not talk about was Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street. She was probably one of my favorite final girls. Because she was pretty kick-ass. She did not take shit from Freddy.
And I also like even how they brought that character back and how she played herself in Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yes, that was amazing. Yes. That was probably my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street film because it really brought a different aspect to it. It was very different. And it was probably the most original concept I've seen in a horror movie. To this day, I don't think I've seen anything really that original. That one was done by Wes Craven, I believe. It was.
They all were.
No, not all of them were. I think Wes Craven stopped. He really didn't do too much on some of the sequels. He might have overseen it a little bit or, you know, added some stuff to it, but he didn't do all the work on it. Just like the first couple. But the first couple were the best ones. After a while, it got kind of silly.
I mean, my favorite of the Nightmare on Elm Street, anyway, are, like, originally obvious. The original one. 3, 4, and New Nightmare. And then the rest of them, I can give or take.
I love 3, Dream Warriors. That one is just something I could watch over and over again. It's just a fun movie. And Nancy was so powerful, even though she died in that movie. Which I always forget about, and then when I watch the movie over again, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, she died. Which, in a way, is not very Final Girl-like. Even though she wasn't the true Final Girl in that movie. It was, I can't remember her name.
Patricia Arquette, I think.
Patricia Arquette's character, yeah. Right. I don't remember her character's name. Kristen, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, Kristen was the Final Girl in that movie. And I think she was in the next movie, I believe, too.
The character of Kristen was, but it wasn't played by Patricia Arquette. It was played by Tuesday Night.
Right, because she was probably too famous at the time or something.
No, actually, if I remember correctly, I read an article. I guess she had just had a baby, and she didn't think that, you know, that was something she didn't want her child to grow up seeing her in was a bunch of horror movies, so she kind of went away from the genre.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true also. And a lot of... One thing I noticed in horror movies in the 90s, the current, a lot of movies, it's a little more acceptable for, like we said with Scream, for final girls to be sexually active. Some of the final girls are androgynous or more somewhat conservative. And they fight to be feminist or equal. There are a lot of feminists and as final girls. That's one of the things I noticed in the 90s films and a lot of the current horror films now where you find final girls. What do you got? Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah. Definitely.
Some final girls I've noticed, like, is from, I already said It Follows, Erin from You're Next, Dana from Cabin in the Woods, Mia from the Evil Dead remake. Those are some of the final girls that I've sent up note. There were some pretty powerful ones.
There was 13 top final girls that Genevieve put out, and Cotton's character, played by Ashley Lawrence in the Hellraiser movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, oh, I love her.
She's great.
Yep, and who else was on there? Farrah Carter, played by Shauna McDonald in The Descent in 2005.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I watched those movies recently also. Those movies are great. They're very original.
They have the character of Mia Allen, played by Jane Levy, in the Evil Dead remake.
Oh, cool. That movie gets a lot of slack, but it was pretty well done. I mean, I'm a big Evil Dead fan, but, you know, and I didn't think it would live up to it, but, I mean, it doesn't live up to it. It's nowhere near as good as the original Evil Dead, but they didn't do such a bad job. It was really scary.
No, Bruce Campbell was part of it, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, he oversaw it, and he was in the end. Very briefly.
But I think they were smart to make it more of like a reimagining rather than like a shot-for-shot remake of it.
Exactly.
And I enjoyed that. It kind of gave it a new story, kind of breathed new life into this, you know, movie, iconic movie from, I think it was like the late 70s or early 80s when it first came out. And I really enjoyed it. And it kind of gave you a different movie too, so you could enjoy the original and watch it with Bruce Campbell in all of his glory. But then you get, you know, this new characters, this whole new movie, different movie. And what I loved is even though she's technically the final girl, she's also the villain.
Yes.
Because she's possessed, and she's the one creating all of this chaos, or I should say this entity that is using her body as a vessel, you know, creating all of this chaos and stuff. So the fact that she was able to kind of, you know, exercise this being from her and ultimately, you know, make it out in the end, and her character as well, I believe she was like a drug addict, or she was an alcoholic. Right. So, you know, that as well is a very good, almost like metaphor for like exercising your demons, you know, sobriety, getting yourself to the point where you can be the best you that you possibly can be, you know, in super lame terms. But I really enjoyed that because it showed that a female can have all of these issues and still be a person. You know, she was super relatable at times, and then she was also really fun as the bad guy, you know, underneath the stairs, is trapped in that little, like, basement thing. And then she was able to prevail in the end with some help, you know, from her friends and stuff, and she ultimately made it out alive. And I don't know if anybody else did from that movie. I think she was the only one. Marnan.
I think so. It's been a while.
I love that. I love how, you know, they made her the villain, but then ultimately she turned out to be the final girl. So I just thought that was such a really cool, like, twist to the story.
Yeah, it was truly scary. It was just like the original Evil Dead was actually truly a scary movie. The second and the, you know, in the sequel, of course, were not. They were silly.
Oh, yeah, but that's what made them so great. But and her makeup job in that movie was just so well done. Like, she was so creepy looking at times.
Yeah, I think that scene with her in the basement coming up, trying to get out from under the floor, I think it scared me more in the remake than it did in the original.
Yes. Yeah, with, like, her eyes were kind of, like, glowing a little bit. Like, you could just see part of her underneath the like, covered part of wherever she was hiding, and yeah, I thought that was just so well done.
It really was. It really was. I really was impressed with it.
That's kind of how I feel about Scout Taylor Compton playing Laurie Strode in Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween. Because, you know, she started off as the good girl in the first one, and then in the second one, she went batshit crazy. You know, and you see that final scene where her sitting in the crazy house, and, you know, she just looks so sinister, like the evil had overtaken her.
I like that series. I was pretty impressed with it. A lot of people put that down, the Rob Zombie Halloween series, and I thought it was really well done. it was a different side of it. It explains more of, I mean, it human-sized him. It made him human, but it explained a lot of why he was who he was, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of biased anyways. I pretty much love everything that Rob Zombie touches.
Me too.
I thought it was just great.
Well, me too to an extent. 31 wasn't as great as everything else was, but...
Yeah, I loved it.
I think we have to do a Rob Zombie show.
Fantastic. So did I. I love it. It's one of my favorite ones from him now.
Should we do a Rob Zombie show?
Can we talk about Charlie? Because Charlie's kind of a final girl.
Definitely a final girl.
Oh, Charlie's definitely a final girl.
In that movie.
Except for the end when she meets Doom.
No, but I think they left that open that she's going to come back and, you know, be the one torturing people. You know, because they left that open.
The sequel, 32.
November 1st.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, she's another one where, I mean, I know the film was set because, you know, Rob Zombie loves his time period vintage movies. So it was set in, like, the 70s.
He's a thing for the 70s.
All his movies have killer soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you could tell he's a musician who really appreciates the art of music and rock and roll and stuff because his soundtracks are just amazing. But totally...
On him.
Oh, I know, right? If you want to do a whole show on Rob Zombie, let me know. And
yes, I think we will, actually. There's enough movies, too.
Charlie goes through the whole Final Girl evolution. She goes from not even being able to defend herself. She just kind of, like, accidentally gets out of a certain situation. And the, I forget her name, Meg Foster's character was pretty much the mother figure taking care of her the entire time, making sure that she was able to get free from all of these traps and stuff. And it wasn't until, I hate to play spoiler alert, but, you know, it wasn't until Meg Foster's character ultimately meets her demise. And I seriously, throughout the entire movie, I thought it was going to be Meg Foster's character that was going to make it out alive. And so I was very shocked.
No, I knew it was going to be Sherry Moon Zombie because, well, she's his wife.
Yeah, but he's killed her off before.
Well, that's true, yeah. I don't know, I just had a feeling about it. She just seemed like she was going that way.
Well, exactly, and that's why I seriously thought that she was going to die because she started out kind of being weak and defenseless, but throughout, you know, everything that's thrown at her and the help of Meg Foster's character, like, she's able to kind of find the strength within herself, and ultimately she is the final girl. And I had a love-hate relationship with that ending. Like, looking back on it, I kind of like the fact that they left it open-ended like that, but after my initial watching of it, I hated the fact that they left it open-ended. I'm like, why are they doing this? Why don't they just show them? Why did Rob choose to end it this way? But I can appreciate it more now, like, after the fact. I think it kind of creates more of that, you know, choose your own storyline. Like, so if you really like the Charlie character, you could think to yourself, yeah, of course, she, you know, adrenaline kicked in and she fucking kicked Doomhead's ass, you know? Or if you didn't like the Charlie character, you could have been like, yeah, well, Doomhead just fucking pummeled her to the ground and she's gone. So, you know, like, I kind of liked the way that, you know, he left that open. Kind of like, every time you watch it, you can kind of watch it a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I like about his movies, because no matter which one you watch, you can kind of do the same thing with it. You know, because sometimes you want her to die, and then the next time you watch it, you want her to live, or you want, you know, even though you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you watch it, and I love Sherry Moon Zombie. Like, I think she is just fantastic. But there's sometimes, you know, you watch this movie, and you're just like, wow, she's so annoying. I kind of wish she would die. And then there's sometimes you watch it where you're like, wow, she's so great. I'm so glad her character lives. You know? So it kind of satisfies both parts. So you can, you know, it creates more of, like, a rewatchability. you know, you can watch this several times and not get bored with it.
Yeah, I always watch those movies over again. 31 I've only watched twice, though. But Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses, I can't tell you how many times I've watched it. It's way
too many. I actually had to buy, like, new copies of it because, like, the DVDs are scratched because I've watched them so much.
I have a Blu-ray of the two of Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses together that I got from Newbery Comics. It was really cheap, too.
Yeah, that's how I did it when I'm slowly putting all my horror movies onto Blu-ray. So that's how I did it when I bought them on Blu-ray. It was a double set. But I love that movie. Everybody knows I love Sid Haig, so.
Yep. Love to interview him one day.
Oh, I would. Oh my God.
If he's at Rock and Shock, you're in charge of getting Sid Haig's interview.
I can find
I do Bill, you do Sid. Because Bill knows me already.
Yeah.
Jess will say, Bill's my boyfriend.
I would have loved to have interviewed Malcolm McDowell when I went to TerraCon.
We tried.
I got to talk to him for about a half an hour. Everybody with the Walking Dead panel. So there was nobody in there when I got there. And he was just so great to talk to. Like,
I can imagine.
Had no problems.
But his press agent won't allow it.
Yeah.
Because we
have. There are actually a lot of people at conventions like that who have no issue talking to you and answering your questions and having just like a conversation with you. But when it comes to trying to like interviewing them for like a podcast or something, they can't do it because it's all like contractual and. Legal mumbo jumbo and all of that crap because we tried to get a couple of people at Rock and Shock last year and unfortunately we had great conversations with a couple of people. One of them was Derek Mears, but unfortunately we weren't able to record anything because of all of that legal bullshit.
But anyway, Final Girls.
Yes. So I think that we're going to see more of the evolution of character with the fact that horror has become a lot more mainstream than it used to be. It used to be so taboo, like, oh my god, you're into horror. And now we have, like, freaking MTV shows that are all horror-based. And,
like the Scream show.
I think we're going to see more of, you know, and the success of American Horror Story. I think we're going to see more of female evolution in the horror genre, and I'm hoping that it includes, because I think it's great how far we've come, but we still have a lot farther to go, and what I would like to see are more women of color surviving and kicking ass and, you know, taking names and all of that crap, you know, like we have a lot of, most of our final girls, you know, are a little basic.
Yeah,
you know, I'd like a little more color added to our final girls.
That would be great.
Yeah, I want to survive a horror movie and not die because I'm Spanish.
Right? Like, I want to see, you know, a Latina kicking ass because God knows that they do, you know? I want to see a Native American chick just totally, like, ripping someone to shreds.
That would be awesome.
I want to see more variety in my final girls. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty satisfied with how far they've come. Everything looks promising. I want more variety. I want to see more. And I think that if people keep, you know, supporting, movies that involve certain females and involve certain aspects of, you know, women doing certain things, if it's kind of like, you kind of have to put your money where your mouth is, you know? So if you go out and you support certain things, other people are going to follow suit. And they're going to continue to make certain things and make certain adjustments to certain things. And soon we'll be able to see, like, a fully realized, fully inclusive horror genre, which would be amazing because you don't see that with any other genre.
That's true. And there's so many female directors out there. There's a lot more coming out down the line. I mean, we had that movie XX with all female directors with Yeah. I don't know if either of you have seen it. I saw it and it was pretty good. It was a trilogy of shorts, horror shorts,
yeah, and it was pretty well done. I just haven't seen it yet.
It was pretty good. I rented it on demand and it was good. It wasn't amazing, but it was pretty decent. I enjoyed it. And it was original. There were no Final Girl type things, but
I mean, I love the Soska sisters.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Oh, Dead Hugger in a Trunk. Yes, amazing.
Oh my god, that movie is so amazing.
Yep. And I love what they're doing with
American Mary.
You know.
American Mary is so amazing. Have either of you seen that?
Yeah, that movie's phenomenal. Yes, I have. I love it.
I love her as Catherine Isabel.
Yes, she's a great actress.
I heard she was at Rock and Talk once.
She was a couple of years ago, I believe.
I missed her. I'm really upset that I missed her because she's one of my favorites.
I just learned about Rock and Talk the first year I went, which was 2014. So I had no clue if there was anything of the sort prior to that.
I started going a little bit before that, but and I'm so glad I found out about it. Also, I want to meet you people.
I was just going to say the same thing. I've met a lot of great people going to these conventions, and it's nice to meet people that I actually have a legit thing in common with, and they have the same passion about it that I do.
Yes. That's how I started. That's why I started Scream Sisters, is because I found out, hey, there are other women that actually like horror movies. Cool. It's amazing.
Yeah, I actually have women friends that I can sit and watch horror movies with, and it have to be a horror movie night that is me and a bunch of guys, because my girlfriends are all too scared to sit and watch one.
Nope. Not me. That's what I sit there and do all week, is I watch horror movies. I watched two movies on Shudder today that were horror movies.
That was actually one of the first things that my husband and I bonded over was our love for, I think we met online and his profile picture was him with Doug Bradley, and I'm a huge Hellraiser fan, and I love Pinhead, and I'm like, oh my god, you're with Pinhead, and, you know, it just started a whole conversation, so I kind of owe horror a debt of gratitude because, you know, I'm married now, thanks to horror. So, you know.
And you guys are so cute together.
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you.
We had Doug Bradley on the show.
Thanks.
We had Doug Bradley on the show.
We make ourselves grow up, so it's okay. We know.
Unfortunately, my husband does not like horror movies, but it's okay.
Mine doesn't either.
But see, but you have some wonderful friends that love horror, yeah.
He's tolerant of it. He likes sci-fi and he likes comic movies, you know, comic book movies, so he's not all bad.
My husband will put him with just to keep me quiet.
Yeah, I mean, he'll go to Marvel movies with me and, you know, stuff like that, so it's not that bad.
Oh, that's good. Compromise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he likes them.
You know, it's nice that more women are being vocal about the love of the horror genre. It used to be so taboo. You know, it's like, oh, you can't like horror because you're a girl. And it wasn't really, you know, for the longest time, you know, hence the whole point of this discussion, you know, horror movies weren't made for women. You know, they were made for men. Like, they figured that men would be the majority of their viewing audience. So they made it for them. And more women are coming forth and being like, you know, raising their hand like, hey, me, I'm a fan. I love horror. Like, I love seeing people getting ripped to shreds because, you know, it's not appropriate in society to go up to somebody and, you know, gut them with a machete. Why, I don't know, but, you know, unfortunately it's frowned upon. But you can vicariously live through somebody else doing the same thing, you know? So, and I think that's why I love the fact more women are coming forward as horror fans. You know, I do go to these conventions, and Rock and Talk is one of the main conventions that I go to, and every year that I go, I see more and more females in attendance, and it is so awesome. So awesome. And I think that what you ladies are doing as far as the Scream Sisters podcast goes is just amazing.
Thank you.
And it is so needed because not only are you horror fans, but you have a voice and you're putting it to good use and you're getting your thoughts and ideas out there and you're changing people's minds about the demographic of horror fans. So definitely keep up the good work because you ladies are putting such amazing energy out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We've gotten pretty good feedback. And when we did Scarecon last year, we had a couple men who did other podcasts come up to us and like tell us similar things. And that was like amazing. When they told me that, I was like, I think I probably turned like bright red hearing that.
I would think too, because guys don't always like to give gratitude or show their appreciation or, you know, let a woman know you're kicking ass, you know? So,
Yeah, we got interviewed and everything for other shows, and it was pretty impressive.
Podcasting in general is such a boys' club. So the fact that you ladies are an all-female podcast and you're succeeding and you're thriving and you're growing, like, that says something. So just definitely don't stop and keep up the good work because
thank you.
It's important and it's needed.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. It was awesome. Do we have anything else to say about Final Girls? I'm losing my voice a little bit here.
After the day you had, I'm surprised you're still awake.
No, I didn't actually have it. I got canceled. Right.
Yeah, I just like this, like Ashley said, I like the direction that Final Girls are going in. It's nice to see a woman being the strong one and not having to be that weak person that needs a man to take care of her. So, you know, hopefully, and like she actually also said about more variety in the types of women that are surviving these movies. It doesn't always have to be brunette. It doesn't always have to be a redhead. Not that I have anything against it, but like you said, it'd be nice to see somebody of color coming out, picking out, and taking names while they're doing it.
That would be amazing. Well, hopefully people will listen to us and hear that, who are directors and writers, and they'll do it. I totally agree with you, ladies. I would love to see some different types of Final Girls out there, of color and races and just
size.
Right? Yeah, I say shapes and sizes.
Shapes
and
colors sizes and colors. And yeah, that would be great. I want to be a final girl. Yeah. No, I'm white.
I'm frying my butt off with
but I'm white.
James, I've been telling James, you please kill me. I don't even care if I get killed in your movie. I just want to be in one, and I want to be a survivor, even if it's only for 10 minutes. I just want to be in a horror movie.
I kind of know a director. I know Darren Lynn Bousman.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. He knows me by name, sort of. When he sees me, he knows me. So I used to follow the whole Repo, the Genetic Opera scene, and Devil's Carnival when it came out. But I know Terrence Sanook better, but I'm supposed to.
There's a few people in movie-wise that actually know me by name and, like, talk to me on a regular basis. So it's kind of making me want to stop and start brains and, you know, putting that little bug in their ear about new ideas for movies.
Yeah. I'm in the process of thinking of ideas on writing a script, but, and yes, it does include a female hero. So we'll have a female final girl in the long run. I might actually play her.
Even better.
Yeah. It's going to be a short film, but still.
Hey, that's, everybody has to start somewhere.
Yep. And Billy Coyne's going to do the special effects.
Nice.
Yeah, I already asked him. He's like, hell yeah.
He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, he is. All right, so I think we're going to wrap this up before I lose my voice. I can chug the rest of my water. So thank you again, Ashes, for being a guest. You were great. I don't know what we would have done without you, because you contributed so much on Final Girls. And
well, thank you.
Thank you
so much for inviting me on.
Oh, no.
I had a blast.
I did
too. Fantastic
to
get to talk to both of you.
Thank you, Melissa, for being on the show. We missed you.
Having me. I missed you guys too.
All right, so we're going to wrap up here, and unfortunately we don't have Jordana to do a scream, so we're not going to do a scream or laugh, whatever. We did laughing. Unless Ash just wants to do laughing. Can you do an evil laugh?
Oh, I'm quite known for my evil laugh.
Okay, then you can lead the evil
good,
laugh.
I can't do one to save my life.
I can.
No.
I can do one with you. I'm not as good.
Okay.
All right, you lead with me.
Let me know.
All right, go ahead. All right, this is Misty Pendragon signing off for Scream Sisters. Thank you and good night.